Okay, we're going to be starting an interesting topic tonight, which is the topic of Boire on Yom Tov. Now, we've spoken, as a rule, we've discussed the concept of the melachas which are permitted on Yom Tov. We've generally spoken about the idea that the Tzorech Nefesh, melachas are generally speaking permitted, the Tzorech Nefesh, right? You can cook on Yom Tov, you can... so many things you can do on Yom Tov. So one of the exceptions we have spoken about in the previous Simon was the concept of tikkun kli, of actually creating a kli, which we have learned is something which remains also even if it's a tzorech echal nefesh. Today we're going to be discussing the halachas of boire, which is very relevant. Are you allowed to do boire on Yom Tov if it's tzorech echal nefesh or not? Now we know that boire is one of the melachas on Shabbos, which we encounter and we face frequently. As we know, by choosing good from bad, and the various conditions are not kept, then there's an issa deraisa, sometimes the rabbanon, of boireir, separating good from bad. Does this malacha per se also apply on Yom Tov or not? Interesting application will be one of the cases which the person can actually speak. Imagine you want to sieve something in the kitchen. Say, I don't know if you want to make pasta on Yom Tov. I don't necessarily would have pasta on Yom Tov, but let's just say, or maybe deliver some more lokshen or something, and you want to sieve it through after to the strainer. What is it called?
Sieve.
Yeah. And that's real pure undiluted boire, because you are taking the bad out of the, you know, you're separating the good and bad. And that would be a prime, beautiful application of a melachas boire on Shabbos, which certainly would be a deraisa. Now, could you do this on Yom Tov? So you're allowed to cook pasta on Yom Tov, but can you actually sieve it through to separate the water from the actual lokshen? Can you do that or not? So that would be one question out of the countless which would be actually applicable. So that we'll be discussing with this simon. Let us see what the Shulchan Aruch, how the Shulchan Aruch addresses this. Page Kuf Chavov, Sim Kuf, Tov Kuf Yud, and Sif Aleph. Kama dvorim asurim las b'yom tev, ezim mkutorim al edishinu. Right. So Sif Aleph is, Moilin melilois. So melilois is to roll around soft grain. So the initial case is the case of the soft grain, which you want to roll around. Mufachin of kidneys, you want to roll around this soft grain, or for that matter, the kidneys, the beans, in order to separate the shells from the actual grain or from the actual bean, you're allowed to do that. Kedarkon, even in the normal fashion, without shinui, b'yom tev, on Yom Tov. U'menapeach me'at me'at ve'oichal, and you can actually do that by separating a little bit at a time, ve'oichal, and subsequently you eat. Ve'afilu b'kon v'tomcho, even if you're using a specific equipment which is to check the beans, specific equipment which sifts through. Now those are items which I do not know exactly what the tavlo, the nap on the kvoro is, besides what Mishnah Berurah teaches us in Sif Katan Hey, that those are the most specific equipment which you normally use for a larger amount. So, in principle, you're allowed to separate the soft grain, the beans, from their shells, which probably would be within the category of boire. However, if you've got a specific equipment which is normally used for larger amounts, it would be also. Why so? Why is the larger amount close, but not exactly? We've learned about that previously. When you do a large amount... Oh, yes. What did we learn there? Oh, very good. That's it. Absolutely. Very, very good. That's exactly what we learned. Yes. So we learned at the beginning of Hilchos Yom Tov, we learned that various melachos are also, if it appears that you're doing a large amount, a bulk amount, because that will look as if you're doing it for after Yom Tov. What was the example? Staka, you said, a lot of those melachos which are related to large amount, harvesting, of the melachas, when you do them for bulk, for large amounts, you're not allowed to do it because it would appear as if you're doing it for after Yom Tov. So here also, if you're doing boire is fine if you're just eating it straight away, but if you're doing a tavla or a benapa of a kvar, which are larger equipments, those would normally indicate they're doing a large amount for even after Yom Tov, and that's why it's also. As the Mishnah Berurah says in his own words, in Sifkot Nei, which is the second wide line, avloi betavlo, the mechse, it seems, command the Ovel to Echmoch, because it looks as if you're doing for the next day. She'ein derech lasois, it is not the way. Lasois bekelim alolu elo harbe, because those kelim are normally used for smaller, for large amounts, and not for big amounts. And if you're doing it for large amounts, it's awesome. Right, we're ready for Ziv Beis. Habere kitnias biyomtev. Okay, if you're sieving kitnias, beans on Yom Tov. If you're doing it, you're just putting beans on your lap, and that's the way you're comfortably sifting and separating them. That's okay. As long as you want to eat them on the day. So say you've got nuts, you've got beans, you want to just separate and take away the shell from the bean. You're allowed to do that on Yom Tov, as long as you're doing it on your lap, and you're actually going to eat them on today. Again, not if you've got those big equipment, specific equipment, which it looks like you're doing for the next week. When is this said? If you've got more food than psoilis, than shells. But if you've got more psoilis than oichel, then boris oichel minichs psoilis, then take the oichel and leave out the psoilis. If it is easy for you to just take the psoilus from the food rather than the other way around, then although there is more food, you can just take the oichel and leave the psoilus away. That's fine. Continues the Rama. Veluzim ubotnim. If you've got botnim, pistachios, thank you. If you've got pistachios, you need shtabu vedambiklim, and they actually opened up, but they're still within their shells. So you've got pistachios which are still within their shells. Loi mikyaps a klipa psoiles. The shell is not considered psoiles. Kimen du chaya b'hochi v'adayin muravin. It's considered muravin. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says you've got nyut. V'kemin echodom. It's considered one min. And therefore, you can do the boil. You can boil. You can separate the shell from the pistachios than the actual nut. That's okay. Siv Gimel. Okay, that speaks about. Gentlemen, do you know how to do mustard? Do you know how it works exactly? The mustard, beans, and then after you see it? I did know once and I forgot. Yeah.
We said just now, it writes it all halal by
yon. Yes.
It doesn't sound the same as on Shabbos where it's got to be the
answer. Indeed. Indeed, very good. Thank you very much for pointing out. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Yud Beis is probably going to address what you want to hear. We're going to get to that. But you're right. No, but you're right in principle. You're right. It's not the concept of the miad that we find in Shabbos. I'm waiting for Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Yud Beis. How do you do mustard? I forgot. I used to know how you make mustard and I forgot. Do you take mustard beans?
Seeds,
yeah. And you add water. Is that I know that my mother-in-law used to make mustard. I just forgot.
I crush it.
Crush it, maybe. You know how to make mustard? You buy it.
That's all I know.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So indeed, there are receipts. It appears that you need a. You need to sieve it. No, let's look at the Shulchan Aruch Siv Gimel. Let's see if we can make it understandable, because I've actually forgotten a bit how it works. Ein mesanin in a chardol, you're not allowed to sieve through the mustard. You're not allowed to sieve the mustard. But mesanenes shaloi with its strainer, with its sieve. Ve'ein mematkin oisa b'gecheles, you're also not allowed to put hot or put mematkin oisoi. Similarly, you're not allowed to take the mustard and put it on the hot coals. But if it's a metal strainer, then it's fine. So again, what we're learning now, that the mustard into the sieve, you're not allowed to put it through the sieve. You're not allowed when mematkin oisoi begechele shel etz. You're not allowed to mematkin oisoi, make it tastier, make it better by putting it onto the hot coals. If it's made out of wood, but if it's on a hot on hot metal, then it's permitted. Let's see how the Mishnah explains if Kot Yudalef. In Mestanin in Achadol, the muscle may not be through the sieve. The Mechzik Boira, because it looks like you're doing Boira. Shemashlich Halidei Zeh Asubin Shiloi, because you're removing the, you're separating good and bad. Aval Boira Mamash Lahava, but it's not proper Boira. Shekam HaPsoile Zeroi Lachile, because really the Psoile is also edible. Within those mustard seeds, even the leftovers really are edible. So the separation is not really a separation from good and bad, because really you could eat both. So, but nevertheless, it's also, it's not real boira, but it looks like you're doing boira, and therefore it's also. So contrary to the previous seif, what we're learning over here is that boira is actually also when it comes to the mustard. Now, seif kot yud beis addresses the following point. With its own seif, so it would appear from here that the only reason why sieving through the mustard is, the only reason why it's also is, because you're using a specific equipment. For doing the sieve base. So what we're learning is, if you're using a specific equipment for sieving, it's also a designated sieve, a strainer, a designated equipment, then it's also. But as we learned in sieve base, if you're just separating it on your lap with your hands, and you're not using a specific equipment, then it's fine on Yom Tov. That's why if you've got nuts, and you put them on the table on your lap, and you're separating them, when you've got beans, and you've got, you're just taking them in from the shell, it's mutter. Per se, intrinsically, it's mutter. The only reason when they forbade it, it was with the napa kvora, mishum dekein, sheken derech b'rirosa b'chol. I mean, tzivkot nyud beis in Mishneh Berurah. What is that? They say that when you're using specific, designated equipment, it's also. Otherwise, it's fine. Kosev ha-mogen Avraham, de'im lo yo'ev shal esanen me'erev yom tef, mutal esanen afilu mesanenes. And in fact, in fact, here comes an important Mishneh Berurah. It says again, so we're learning as follows. Boire intrinsically is mutter on yom tef. If you're using, however, a more sophisticated equipment, that would be awesome. Why is it different? Oh, because on Shabbos, you're not really allowed to do boira in a forbidden way. Here we're even addressing in what is considered the forbidden way on Shabbos, such as, you know, when you don't do the three conditions, when you don't do it for now, when you don't do it. So if you do conditions of Shabbos, if you don't fulfill those conditions, and nevertheless on Yom Tov, will be permitted.
So the spaghetti.
I have to put the lid on. Spaghetti, what do you tell about the spaghetti, gentlemen? Would be a problem. Spaghetti would be a problem. Because you're using
sieve.
Yeah. So far we would say that the spaghetti is also to sieve through. What else would be a relevant application?
Orange lemon squeezer.
Yeah, lemon squeezer. Yeah.
It goes through the...
Yeah, that's right. It's got these potted holes in the bottom. So that would probably be also what we're learning now. So that would make a lot of sense, if not for the fact that the Mishneh Berurah ends off with an additional halacha, which makes it a bit more complicated. And that's the problem. What happens if you are unable to sieve it before Yom Tov? Whatever the reason may be. You are unable to sieve it before Yom Tov. Mutar lesanen, says the Mishneh Berurah, you're allowed to sieve it. Afilu b'mesanenes, even with a specific keli, you'd be allowed to sieve it through. So if you are unable to do the boire before Yom Tov, then no conditions apply more on Yom Tov, and you can sieve it in any way that you want.
What does it mean you couldn't do it before?
Good question. What does it mean before? So I assume, you tell me how you interpret it. I would interpret that by cooking it before Yom Tov, it wouldn't be as tasty, and you're allowed to therefore even do the... You'll have to see Efshal, as you could have done it yesterday, because if I had done it yesterday, it wouldn't have been that tasty. If so, let's go back to your question of the pasta. probably wouldn't be as tasty. It's not as nice. Yes, it's pasta. That doesn't taste as nice. What do you think? Yes, it's pasta. Not the same, huh? It's not the same. I agree. So the pasta, therefore, would appear that it's permitted to save it on Yom Tov, and so Paskins is quoted on the side. I couldn't believe it myself. But Avilashir apparently is quoted in allowing sieving through the pasta. Very much that case. You can sieve it through the sieve on Yom Tov.
Because you couldn't do it before. It's because it's for freshness.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Why are you allowed to cook on Yom Tov? You can also cook before Yom Tov. Why are you allowed to cook on Yom Tov? Cooking per se, cooking in itself. Why are you allowed to cook on Yom Tov? I can cook today. The answer is because it's nice. If you cook it today, then we're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. It tastes better.
You went from Shabbos to Yom Tov.
Shabbos to Yom Tov.
Let's say it's a 3-day.
Yeah.
Then it's more of a
need. Then you need to have
fresh. Well,
yeah. What happens? What would you do if you've got the unpleasant situation that a fly ended up in your drink? Now we know that there is a controversy about taking a fly out of the drink because of boire. There's a discussion about how you take it out. Can you just pour out the fly with the drink? Is that okay? Etc. etc. But without going into that, if I just want to take the fly out, which is clearly a case of boire, according to many authorities, if you want to take the fly out of your Coke, your hand. It is. For some reason, it's considered boire. Although, it's considered boire. It's considered minechor, it's considered taroivus. So, what? Ashneimini is considered taroivus. What happens if I want to take the fly out of my drink? I know you're referring to the Taz, very good. But let's say I don't want to do that. I don't want to lose any of my Coke. I want to take the wing of the fly, you know, hold it by its wing and just take it out so that I don't lose any of my drink. Would I be able to do that or not? And thereby not lose. Because normally that's spoiled. On Shabbos, I'm not allowed to do that. But what about on Yom Tov? I'm just asking in terms of Torah Chanefesh. Very good. It's Yev Shalas Umidim. Yeah. He only flew in today. So according to that, it would be permitted. Because it's something I couldn't have done yesterday. So I'm allowed to do that on Yom Tov. And that's really the locha. So Aboy Sai, we've got to remember that Boireir is Mutter on Yom Tov. Boireir is fine. As long as you don't use the specific equipment. And even the specific equipment is permitted if you couldn't have done it yesterday.
What would be an example where you couldn't have done it yesterday? Where
I couldn't have?
Where you could have.
Okay, good question. Let's think this through. A case that would be also on your
non-food example, maybe.
Yeah, that's right.
My room was messy with toys.
Yeah, good example. Very good. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know what? If you want to pick some Playmobil from the box for your kids and or whatever, you want to pick some of the clicks or whatever. But toys is actually very common. So you want to take some items. You know what?
Cutlery,
or your socks. Yeah. You want to take socks, and you want to take dafka, the ones that say Monday on it.
Best ones for Yom Tov.
What? Your best socks on Yom Tov. Right. You want to take the ones that, yeah. So here it would be probably boire if you've got loads of socks, and you'll just pick the one there. That would probably be boire, and that would not be it would be a case of. Could have done it yesterday.
But I would meet the conditions.
Yeah, if you meet the conditions, then yeah.
But you're saying if I'm taking out all the other things to leave just myself.
Right, that'll be, that's right, that'll be.
What am I doing for later? But if I'm doing it for the same day, is that?
So if you do it for the same day.
But not for now.
No, that would probably not qualify as me out. Yeah. Right, okay, so these are the points we covered today. Let me summarize what we learned this evening. We spoke about the soft grain, the lad who rolled it around in a regular way. We spoke about other scenarios of boire, which is permitted on Yom Tov. Boire is one of the melachas, which is mutter, you don't have to do shinoi. Excluding, that is, the shinoi which is done through a professional or perhaps, let's say, more sophisticated equipment. Certainly, those types of boy, which is for long-term, larger amounts, bulk amounts, is also on Yom Tov. But if you're using just regular kind of beans or kidneys or anything like that, nuts, and you want to just separate them, you don't have to worry about kidneys, you don't have to worry about boy at all. Similarly, also, we spoke about the mustard. While it's not exactly understanding scenario, you're not allowed to sieve it in a more sophisticated manner. But if it's something which could not have been done before Yom Tov, would be permitted according to Magen Avraham. I wish you a very, very good Shabbos. Over to you.
So in this week's Parsha, we have a pasuk that says, Hasket Shema Yisrael. It says, gather and listen, Israel. And the Gemara in Brachos tells us from here we learn that when we have a learning, we should do it in a group. Being together, we're going to achieve a lot more. So just a quick thank you to our Maggid Shir and to everyone here. I'm pretty certain if we're learning individually, we could never come up with the Kiddush and we come up here. And it's quite a highlight of our days, I know. So to summarise maybe this week's learning, I would say like there's two parts. There's we have a preparation and then we have a change. So we learnt about like preparing for Yom Tov, we learned about what we can do like for the Kalim. And we have a change because once Yom Tov's come in, it's got a new status. So we've learnt about Kalim. When it comes into Yom Tov, we can change the certain status under certain circumstances. There's certain circumstances we can't change it. And there's certain circumstances where the Kali, it can be changed, but we've got to do it in private. No one can see. So possible link to this week's Parsha. We've been preparing a long time for the Bikurim, for the Gumi, the ring. We take a whole procession to Yerushalayim, lots of planning. And then once we make our declaration, it's changed status. And in that sort of circumstance, it can't. There's a window of opportunity to do that. If we miss that, we can't bring from the next year for the previous year. It's as it is. And then we read about the confession of tithes, Maaser Truma, in the fourth and seventh year. We have to declare we've done a Maaser Truma for those years, and in a certain way, we've done our job, our preparation, and we've changed. We've made ourselves like a higher sort of status by doing that. And then later on, we read, when we come into Israel, we've got to make these 12 stones, and we've got to write the Torah, 70 languages, for everyone to read. And in a certain way, the planning there was, we've been 40 years in the Bamidbar, and now we're coming to a high level, we're going to enter Israel, change status, and we're making a new bond with the land, and its mitzvahs, depending on the land. So that's maybe a link to this parsha, like the preparation and the change. So just I want to give a thought-provoking idea. There's a pasuk we read in this week's parsha that every time I hear it, it sure like it makes me sort of cringe, and I think it makes the whole Kehillah cringe. I think, but I'm not sure. And the pasuk says, "Tachat asher lo avadata et Hashem Elokecha besimcha." Levav Barov called that we didn't serve Hashem with our God in Simcha, with having everything. And when I read that, I think, when I hear that, I think, you know, okay, I've done well this year, maybe I've got a bit for Shacharis, I've gone to Shir, I've tried my best in certain areas, but you know what, I've been grumpy, I've been half tired, and, you know, have I done the Simcha thing? Not sure. There's a story I heard some years ago about someone in one of the concentration camps, and his job was just to dig, like from day and night. He had a shovel to dig. And every time he threw like the shovel over his shoulder with the dirt, he said this pasuk. He said, "Tachad asher lo avadat Hashem Elokech besimcha." He lost everything apart from his life, and that's his, I don't know what it was, like a teshuvah, but that's what he said. At the beginning of the parsha, we say, "V'samachta." We've got to rejoice with everything, with all the good Hashem has given us. So this is it's a commandment, like Hashem says, you've got to be in Simcha. And it's a sort of famous kasha, like how can you be told to be in Simcha? Smile, you've got to be happy now, which is a very hard thing, perhaps. So Mefarshim answered by saying that if we look at what we have, then we should be a simcha. Like as it says in Kehelis, if someone wants 100, they want 200. If we just see what we have, hopefully we'll be in simcha. So I just want to give us all a bracha, like as we go through. We've got another 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. Like we should maybe something to work on.
Thank you. Very nice. Thank you very much. It's thought-provoking words. Really nice.